B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli Show. It's a very special hour. It is 4 o'clock on Fridays. You know what we do. We bring in the man himself. Brian Westbrook shares the hour, shares your calls. He's brought to us by Landis Block. It's your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. Mr. Westbrook.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you doing, my friend?
Were you calling from the pool?
Does it sound like I'm in the pool?
It sounds like you're in the pool, man. What are you in a hot tub or something?
I wish I was in a hot tub. Tyrone told me that it sounded great.
It sounds poolish. No, it's all right. We're good. We're good. I think you're getting a little hot tub action going on today.
No, listen, when you have three kids and you're married, you get no hot tub action.
Yeah, congratulations. You just had your third, right?
Third child about 3 weeks ago now.
Three weeks ago, Sunday.
So yeah,
congratulations. So you have two boys
Thank you very much.
Is that a boy? Was that a boy or a girl?
No, two girls and a boy.
Two girls and a boy. Oh, congratulations, Mr. Westbrook.
Yeah,
the young family.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today. So let's start with the Eagles, obviously, with the free agent season and what they've done. Bringing back Deshaun, Jason Peters another year. Brandon Graham gets signed and bring in Malik Jackson. They didn't do anything with the running back situation. Maybe that's down the road. What do you think so far?
Well, I like the pickup of Deshaun Jackson, especially if he can bring you some of the stretch to field that he's brought throughout his entire career. You know, over the last 10 years, he certainly is one of the best ball trackers that the game has had, certainly a deep threat down the field. And I think an offense that was devoid of a deep threat, a plus 20 type of threat, 20-yard threat, Deshaun certainly can add to that. I don't know that he comes back and gets over 1,000 yards. I don't think that happens. But I do think he gets four or five targets per game that allows the field to be stretched just a bit. And I think, you know, one of the things that I didn't see from our team last year was a great route runner. I think Nelson Aguilar actually is a pretty good route runner. They didn't throw him the ball very often. Deshaun Jackson is a really good route runner. He's a guy that's just not a deep threat. He's a guy that gets you a 10-yard out, a 12-yard dig, a quick slant if you need him to go inside. And so he's a guy that can help you in a lot of different ways. I think that he helps Carson Wentz immediately as soon as he steps on the field. And then if something ever happens to Sproles, if they plan on bringing him back, he does give you some help on the special teams, punt return type of thing as well.
He seems really excited to come back to the team. Now you were still on the squad when Deshaun first arrived, right?
Yeah, I was.
First couple years I played with Deshaun. Yeah, first couple years. So what were your impressions of him as a teammate?
Well, he was a very good teammate. He was a young man at the time. We had an awful lot of leaders on the team. He was a guy that helped us out an awful lot. But listen, anytime you're young, you know, you do some dumb things. You do some things that a veteran probably wouldn't do. Those are young man problems. Deshaun went through his fair share of that. I appreciate the fact that he went down to Washington and saw how a bad organization is run. He went down and they lost, a losing culture down there. He went down to Tampa Bay, another losing culture down there. To me, we're getting back a matured man. We're getting a man that, you know, two children in, you know, he's moved on with his life. A lot of different things have happened to him that we're getting someone that is willing and ready to help contribute to a team that needs to win, that wants to win. And I appreciate his growth. I appreciate the things that he's able to accomplish in his time away. But I think the person that we're getting back here now is someone totally different maturity-wise than we had before. And I think that's probably going to be the biggest asset that we get back from Deshaun.
Did you ever have any heart-to-hearts with him when he was younger, a younger player, and you were a veteran?
All the time. You know, and it was good because this is what I know about Deshaun. He's a hard worker. He wants to go out there and get better every day. He's a competitor. He doesn't want to go out there and lose. And listen, I think a lot of people believe that everyone in the locker room is a great competitor. That's just not true. Deshaun is one of those guys that wants to compete on every play. Yeah, you see some of the trash talk that he does to other players. I don't mind that. You talk about him dropping the ball on the one down in Dallas. I didn't mind that as much. That gave me a touchdown, to be honest. But he's learned from those types of mistakes, and I think he comes back a much better player. So, yeah, we've had an awful lot of heart-to-hearts before and after his dad passed away. I've talked to his mother from time to time, especially on social media. My mother and his mother are good friends. And so, you know, Deshaun is a guy that I care deeply about, and I'm invested in his future. And I think that he comes back here and is going to be a really good player for the Birds.
You know, here's the thing that we can't avoid for Devo receivers, and he still has a little bit of that in him. When they come back to the huddle, like giving the quarterback problems about being open or not getting the ball thrown to him, is he past that stage? Or when he does that, how should Carson react? Like, how you saw that side of Deshaun. How did Five react?
Well, I think Deshaun was still very young at the time, and Don was the leader on the team. I think when Doug reins Deshaun in, it's simple as this. Deshaun, I need you to be a leader. I need you to help with the maturity of a very young quarterback. We will not help him. We will not help us and allow us to get to the point that we want to go to as a team is you acting a complete fool. I don't think Deshaun Jackson comes back here being a diva. First of all, I don't know that his talent allows him to be that. I don't know, but you have to be, you know, a guy that's going to get over 1,000 yards consecutively, which hasn't happened for Deshaun in a few years, to be a diva. I think he comes back as a conscious contributor to this football team, trying to help Carson Wentz and his offense continue to gel, continue to mature and get better. I think he comes back as a totally different person. I don't see him as a diva coming back into this locker room. And that's going to be a big part on Doug Peterson. Doug has to control this situation. He has the ability to do that. And I think before you have the conversation of bringing Deshaun back, you had that conversation with him of exactly what you expect from him and how those things are going to transpire. And if that conversation goes well, that's when you decide to bring him back. And they decided to bring him back. So I have to assume that conversation with Deshaun went very well.
What is the best way to handle, as a quarterback, to handle somebody who is complaining about a lack of work? Like he comes back to like I'm just making up something here. He comes back to the huddle and he goes, "Come on, Carson, I'm wide open. You got to look my way." What's the proper response from Carson?
Well, I'll start with this. I don't know that I'm all about the presentation. It's not the words; it's how you present it. If you come back like T.O. did and said, "Throw me the effing ball, I'm wide the F open," then there probably is going to be a problem after the game in the locker room, which it was up there in the Meadowlands Stadium. So I saw that firsthand. So there's probably going to be an issue after the game. Now, if you come back to the huddle like, "Hey, man, I'm wide open. If I'm running the 7 route, allow me an extra step. I'm going to be open." And you present it that way, I think Carson, as a grown man, will say, "You know what, I'll look your way a little bit more." It's all about how it's presented. And I think Carson, at this point of his career, coming off some of the allegations that were kind of exposed early on in that little article, I think he approaches it differently, too. I think you approach it differently mm-hmm. between a guy that has established himself, a veteran in this league, has done some tremendous things in this league, like Deshaun Jackson, talking to you, opposed to, you know, someone like Nelson Aguilar. Mm-hmm. I think it's something different. But all these things, this is why it's important that Deshaun is coming in at this point and not later on. All these things can get figured out during the workouts. "Hey, Deshaun, I need you to 10-yard out." When we guys are, when Carson goes back to South Dakota, mm-hmm. wherever he's from, and the players go out there and throw the ball with him, all these things, the timing, all these things get worked out during those periods. That's why it's important for them to connect over the offseason so that when we get on the field, now we're a cohesive unit so we can go out there and win some football games.
How do you think Deshaun's going to feel about North Dakota?
I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Carson's going to have to figure out something different. Listen, North Dakota shouldn't happen for anybody. Why would I want to go spend time in North Dakota in the offseason? Now, let's go to Florida or California or something. I'm not going to North Dakota. I don't care who it is.
I got you. All right, let's stay in the offense. Jason Peters, the one-year deal. Were you on board with that when you looked at the landscape of what they had to do with that position to squeeze one more year out of him?
You know, I saw Jason Peters struggle a lot last year, and I know he wasn't healthy, so I'm not sitting here saying that he was healthy and he just looked bad. He was not healthy for the better part of last season. I think that's a medical question. It's not about a talent skill set question. Can he be healthy? Can he give me 16 games? That's the big question. I think if you had someone in the pipeline that you could replace him with, and you felt confident going out there replacing him with, you have no reason to bring Jason Peters back. They obviously don't have that guy. Big V isn't that guy. Jordan Mulata, he's not that guy. And so I think that they say, listen, what's the worst that can happen? If a banged up Jason Peters can give me, you know, 75% of himself, then that's better than some of these other guys playing that position. That's what I believe that Howie Roseman and that staff had to think about when bringing Jason Peters back. But Mike, as I say that, I saw a lot of games where Jason was coming in and out of the game. And the biggest and most important thing with offensive line play is continuity and being able to practice during the week, being able to switch things off, being able to move laterally right and left. And there were times where Jason struggled with that because of his health. Not because he's not a Hall of Fame player. We all know that. But because of his health, his Achilles, his knee, you know, all those thigh bruises. He had a lot going on last year, and it just didn't look good throughout the entire season. The big question has to continue to be, can he last for 16 games? If you can't give me 12, 13 games as a starter, full-time starter, in my opinion, I would have moved on. I know it's hard to cut ties with these older guys, but I probably would have moved on if he couldn't give me that.
He did play 79% of the snaps last year, and he didn't play in all 16 games. But I know you're right about the, you know, something. His lateral movement was off. I guess they figured this is the best we can do. There's nobody else out there. We have Big V and the Mulata. If we have to play those, we'll have to play them in lesser roles if Peters has to come out of the game rather than in fuller time roles.
Well, you're absolutely right. Anytime you talk about it with Brett Brown, you talk about it with different players, whoever it is, it's okay. Yeah, I want to get rid of him. Okay, well, you can get rid of him. But the question always is, who are you replacing him with? And if you're not replacing with someone that has potential, someone that's going to protect your quarterback better than the worst play of your starter, Jason Peters, in this case, then it makes sense just to bring him back. And the worst thing that could happen, I suppose, is Jason Peters gets hurt. He doesn't play. You put Big V out there. You put Mulata out there, and you allow them to play. The best thing is, you allow Jason to go out there and play. He plays a bunch of plays. He's healthy. He has a whole offseason to train. He's healthy, and he's a hard worker. He's a guy that's going to go out there and get better every single day. And you allow him to tutor one of these guys, or you draft someone else, and you allow a Hall of Famer to tutor a younger guy. Normally, that works out pretty well.
All right, let's look at the running back situation and how you see this. They did not. They passed on Tevin Coleman and Mark Ingram, both of whom got about $5 million with their teams. What do you think they're thinking here?
You know, I wasn't a big Tevin Coleman fan. I think he can do some things offensively. He had a chance to start down in Atlanta this year, and I thought he was kind of underwhelming. I think Mark Ingram, in my opinion, at 29 years old, still was probably a play for the next 2 or 3 years as you draft someone to replace him. I would have not had a problem with that because he's a guy that can help you in the run game as well as the pass game. I think Doug is of the thought process of running back by committee. Now, my thought process is not that at all. My thought process is, let's have a guy that we're going to give 17, 18 carries, and then we'll throw Sproles out there for some third downs. Then we'll mix in Clement and Josh Adams in there at different parts in the game. I want a guy that you can count on for 18, 19, 20 carries a game every single week. That's the type of guy that I want on my team. And I just don't think that Doug and Howie and Joe Douglas had that same thought in mind. And if they do, which is fine, they're going to have to find it in the draft, because at this point, there's just no other free agents that you feel is going to be able to carry the load in that type of way, unless you give them, you know, you're only giving them 10, 12 carries a game. There's no other guys out there that you're going to give much more than that.
So you would have been a player for Le'Veon Bell, maybe?
There's no doubt. I mean, how can you hurt your team bringing in that type of talent?
Yeah.
A year ago, 2 years ago, he was the best running back in the game. He does exactly what you want him to do. You want him to carry the football and catch the ball out of the backfield. You want to be able to displace him similar to what you do with Darren Sproles and allow him to go to work. He can do all those things, and he's fresh.
It's about 13 mil, though.
Yeah, well, so what? I mean, do you want to win or you don't want to win?
They had some cap situations that they were trying to alleviate, so I don't know if it was feasible for them to do that. But I hear you. So you would have been on board with Le'Veon Bell as the everyday guy.
You didn't like Le'Veon Bell.
No, I like him a lot. I like him a lot. I'm just trying to figure out what they were thinking. Because right now, I mean, you're absolutely right. If they don't get somebody from the draft, it's running back up by committee with the usual suspects.
Well, don't you think that they're thinking, well, you know what? We won the Super Bowl. We had three or four guys playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the way that we had success. I mean, it seems to me that when you bring in Malik Jackson, you bring back Brandon Graham, potentially some other guys trying to remix Chris Long's salary. You're trying to recreate some of the things that made you successful during your Super Bowl year. Maybe their thought process is, if we were very successful with not paying a running back a bunch of money, not depending on one guy the entire season, let's just continue to do that instead of trying to get one guy and recreate the wheel. To me, that's what Howie Roseman has chosen to do.
All right. Malik Jackson and obviously Brandon Graham cemented on that side. Starting line looks good. The depth looks a little weak. Where are they right now defensively? Hicks gone. They're going to have to find a linebacker. They don't really know what they're going to do in defensive backfield. Where are the Eagles right now, all around, and especially defensively?
Well, I think in almost every position, offensive and defensive line, they're looking for depth. They're looking for the ability to say, hey, this guy is down. Who's the next guy that's going to step in and play? And are those guys prepared to play? I think offensively, you have Big V. That has done that awful lot for Jason Peters in and out. I think defensively, to be successful, you need seven or eight guys that can go in and get it done. Right now, they don't have that. When you talk about in the Super Bowl year, they had the ability to go seven or eight guys deep and still expect pressure, still expect guys to get to the quarterback. Right now, they don't have that ability. I think when you add Malik Jackson, you get closer. You bring back Brandon Graham, and hopefully Chris Long decides to come back. You get a little bit closer, but you need at some point to build a team. At some point, you need to be able to build depth. That means the younger guys have to be able to step up and play. Josh Sweat, we need to get Derek Barnett back. You know, you need some of these guys to be able to come back and contribute right away. And right now, they don't have that same type of depth, which means they're going to have to get it in the draft. That's exactly what that means. Or you wait till camp is over and a team cuts a couple guys and you pick them up. But I think you have to find that type of talent in the draft. That means they have to draft well, which is questionable if they've done that in the recent past. But you have to draft well, and you have to expect those young rookies to come in and help you right away. That doesn't happen a lot in the NFL.
All right. We're going to obviously talk more about the Eagles, but I want to get your spin here on the 76ers as they come down the stretch and what you think of them right now. They've got Milwaukee on Sunday, game against Sacramento tonight. Are you bullish on the Sixers right now, or are you a little down on them?
You know, it's weird. I go on these couple shows during the week, and I talk basketball. They had some basketball guys on, and I'm just talking to them about the Sixers. And so I'm outside of Philadelphia talking about the Sixers, and I'm asking them, just what do you think? How do you guys feel about it? And as excited as we are about Ben Simmons and his progress, the more and more basketball people I talk to, they're just saying he's not the chosen one. He's not the guy that's going to be able to be depend on in the playoff. Their thought process is, in the playoff, things slow down. They'll do a little wall at the, you know, basically at the foul line and not allow him to get his fast break points. You know, how much can you depend on Joel Embiid when they're shooting threes versus twos? You know, for me, I'm still excited about the Sixers' chances, but I can see some of the flaws in their game. I can see some of the flaws in the half-court game of the Sixers. If Jimmy Butler doesn't step up as a 20, in my opinion, 25 to 30-point scorer every single game, especially in a playoff series, I think it's going to be hard for this team to win. I think J.J. Redick, you can game plan to slow him down. I think that if Joel Embiid is going to get 25 to 30 points every game, but also Jimmy has to step up and get his 25 points. 18 points is not going to be enough for Jimmy Butler, in my opinion. And that's even if Ben Simmons is shooting his foul shots good and all these different things. In order for them to win, they have to have a second legit score, 20-plus type of scorer, and that means Jimmy Butler has to be that guy.
Oh, well, he's been my main focus right now. Jimmy Butler, I got to see the A personality come out. I don't understand what's been going on. You know, these next games, I'm going to be peeping him severely, no matter where he's going.
You know what, Mike?
Yes.
Check this out. I was asking a couple guys about that, and according to them, they've talked to Jimmy, and he's just said, listen, I'm just playing my part. The team is asking me to do these things, and I'm just going to do that. I'm not going to step out there and try to be more than what they're asking me for. I'm in a contract year. I'm just going to do me, and that's it.
That bothers me.
Well, that bothers me too. That doesn't sound like the person that we need.
You know, I want to kill her. You know, I don't want a guy. You know, I'm just doing what they asked me to do. I want a guy to take over. I want that A personality. I wanted to kick everybody's butt in Minnesota.
Well, that goes back to the coaching then, because you know you have the dog in that guy. If he's saying I'm not going to be that guy because of some of the things we're trying to do offensively, that goes back to the coaching.
It's killing me. It is killing me. We'll come out to. I'm even going to throw some baseball at you. Bryce Harper got hit with a fastball in the leg today.
No way.
A sound that you could hear throughout the stadium. Thunk.
Oh, wow.
It was a thunk.
Is he okay? Is he straight?
Apparently, it's just a contusion.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll ask you your opinion on how baseball handles things like that. Tyrone was all up in arms because Bryce started yelling at the pitcher and the catcher.
All right.
So we'll get to that in a second. And we'll get to your calls as well with one open line, 610-632-0975. With Brian Westbrook, I'm Mike Misnella here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Good news, bad news. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com. Find out why truck shoppers are driving across the tri-state for better prices, bigger selection, and an all-around better buying experience. TurnersvilleJeep.com, South Jersey's fastest-growing Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram dealer. So good news, bad news. We'll start with the bad news. Bryce Harper was hit by a pitch right off his ankle earlier today. Here's how it sounded, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Get on base. You got to throw this guy some slow.
Yeah, no, that didn't sound good. Fortunately, the team believes it's just a right foot contusion. He has not had x-rays yet, but they do not believe that is anything serious. The Phillies did beat the Blue Jays today 3-2 thanks to Gift and Gopay, who walked in. With the bases loaded, he got the game-winning run, game-winning RBI. Nick Williams tied the game with his 9th RBI this season. The Flyers lost to the Capitals last night 5-2 in the return of Carter Hart. The Flyers still trail the Blue Jackets by 5 points for the second wildcard spot. They only have 12 games left. One of them is tonight when they face the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Puck drop will be at 7 o'clock. You can hear that game on WMMR. The Sixers return tonight. They face the Kings. Tip-off is at 7, and that game will be heard right here on The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook continues to join Mike Misnelli for another 30 minutes. This update is also brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, and zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Misanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 4:30. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. And on the half hour, we update our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Andrew Salchunas in for Natalie this week. Andrew, what you got?
Hey, I was ready for this one. Of course, the Twitter poll can be found on our station's Twitter account at 975 The Fanatic. The Sixers' next 4 games are Kings, Bucks, Hornets, Celtics. How will they finish? 46% say 3-1, 38% say 2-2, 10% say 4-0, 6% say worse than 2-2.
So what's in the lead?
3-1.
3-1 is in the lead. Oh, well, that's impressive.
Yeah, because that means they beat the Bucks.
How many games off are the guys taking?
How many games off?
Are they giving some guys some rest the stretch of the season?
Butler had a maintenance day. They're not taking days off now. They got to play the South. They got to get that third seed.
No, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're going to, because they're playing all the way out. No.
No? Who's going to get maintenance? Is JJ?
I bet you Embiid gets another day.
Yeah?
You still on the schedule. You have a Hawks game.
Yeah, but these next four, you don't think anybody.
No. Right? These next four, everybody plays. I'm saying before it's over, you got a Hawks game that you can rest people, a Timberwolves game you can rest people. The Bulls twice and the Hawks again. You had 2 Hawks games. They're not all playing the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But for these 4, everybody's playing.
All right. By the way, update on the Players' Championship. It looks like Tiger Woods is going to make the cut. The cut is -2. He is -3. Unfortunately for Tiger today, Brian, a quadruple bogey on the Island Green at 17. He hit it in the water twice.
I saw that.
You saw that? He went to the drop shot 80 feet yards away, and he put it in again. Come on,
Mike,
Tiger.
He looked like me out there. He looked like me out there with my boys, hitting the ball into the water, pulling out all types of balls out of my bag. Oh, he looked bad. That's, I mean, body language is bad, everything.
That's distressing. Because he was in contention until he got to the 17th. I was playing the back nine first today. And a 7 on a par 3 will not help, Tyrone.
No, you're very excited.
No, I'm not excited. He went to the drop area. The drop area, you hit a damn sandwich to the green at that point.
You're not at least a little bit excited. Because a bunch of people hit the ball in the water.
Yeah.
But you care that it's Tiger because you don't like him.
He hit it twice. Yeah, but pretty much puts him out of the tournament.
Yeah, he's out. He can't win.
Can't win.
The question is, does Tiger ever get it back? That's the big question. Will he ever get it back, or is he just done? Completely.
Well, I'm already on the record saying he's not going to win a major ever again. So,
wow.
But there's a lot of Tiger fans out there that get offended by that. But what are you going to do? All right, so today, we're going to go to the phones, but I want to get your comment on Bryce Harper getting hit with a fastball in the ankle today and a monster thud. And he got upset about it and yelled at the pitcher, and then the catcher got involved. He's yelling at the catcher. What's your opinion on a major league player getting hit with a pitch and what his reaction should be?
Well, I think it's part of the game. I mean, it's part of the game.
Tyrone's all upset. Tyrone's all fired up.
Yeah, no, it's well, that's because Tyrone doesn't understand the game like we do, Mike. It's part of the game. It happens all the time. I think that the repercussions, Bryce Harper yelling back at the pitcher and the catcher getting involved, that's part of the game too.
That's the pushing
and shoving after the play in the NBA or NFL.
I want to see you feel the same. If you're in the opposing dugout and Bryce Harper starts crying about getting hit with a pitch, what are you doing? Are you ragging him?
I'm not doing nothing.
I'm ragging
him. This is part of the game.
I'm ragging him.
You ragging him?
Come on, Mr. Superstar. You got hit with a pitch. Everybody gets hit with a pitch. Stop crying.
Well, everybody complains about it, too. I mean, everybody complains and gets mad about it, too.
No, you're going to get mad.
That's what they do in baseball.
It hurts. But most guys aren't going to yell at the pitcher. They may glare at him. But that must have really hurt Harper for him to have that reaction. All right, let's get to the funds. Kevin.
Wait, listen, have you ever got hit in the ankle before by anything?
I've been hit everywhere playing baseball. I've had baseball stitch marks in all my limbs from getting hit with fastball. I got hit by a guy named Len Barker once. Who in high school was throwing 95. He threw a perfect game in the major leagues. He hit me in the arm in a regular league game, and the stitches stayed there for a week and a half. The stitches in the baseball.
And I guarantee you that.
I took it like a man. I walked to first base.
So, Brian.
I walked to first base.
Now, Brian, I think it's weird that you get hit by a pitch, and to Mike, what you're supposed to do is just take it, no reaction, and just go to first base, not even be human. Then if you hit a home run, also not supposed to have any reaction. You're supposed to just pretend like it was a single. To Mike, baseball's designed to have no emotion, yet he thinks it's a normal game.
Where he misses it.
Well, that's because we don't have a video of Mike playing. If we had a video of Mike after he got hit with the ball, it'd be something totally different.
No, I glared at
him. I
glared at the pitcher. Here's the thing about the retribution in baseball is that now the pitcher has to take it. Like, you hit my superstar, one of you guys got to fall, and they play the two Blue Jays next Thursday. So that's going to happen. That's where the policeman comes in. That's why baseball's beautiful. That's why the symmetry is beautiful. You always get to even it out.
That's part of the game. I remember in football, and we would always say, you know, listen, if a guy gets you down, like I'll give you an example. I was in San Francisco. I got a big hit my last game of the season, last game of my career, actually, huge hit by the safety out of Arizona, basically clotheslined me. And I come back to the huddle. I said, listen, if anybody gets a shot on them, I would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it in football.
Yeah.
Same type of thing in baseball.
But you don't have to tell. It's unsaid. Your baseball players have your back. The pitching staff pays attention to that kind of thing, and they know what the responsibility is. You don't have to tell.
It's weird, but let me ask you this. For the pitching staff, because you're going to get thrown out of the game most likely, right?
Unless, like, if you throw it behind them, and like the umpire knows the circumstances are, you're probably going to get tossed. But you got, if that's the case, you got to take it.
Just get
now. If you're strategic, you hit him in the butt. You know, the meaty part, and then they won't react to that.
Well, there's no way that this guy was trying to hit him in the ankle. I mean, why did he
lost control of the fastball, tried to get it down and in, and he hit him. All right, Kevin, Center City. Kevin, you're on 97.5 at Fnatic. Kevin.
What's going on?
What's up, Kev?
I absolutely believe that DeSean Jackson Center is completely underrated. I've been saying it for years. I think DeSean Jackson is probably one of the most underrated receivers of all time. And I actually think if you polled all the top cornerbacks and said, look, I'm going to put you in the island. You got to guard this guy by yourself all game. Who would you rather guard, Odell or DeSean? They would say Odell because you can't run with DeSean Jackson. He's like, you can't put your hands on him. He's too fast to get jammed. You can at least
I don't know about all that. I get your point, but I don't know.
What I'm saying is, if you're a competitor, Odell won't beat you, but you can compete. You know what I'm saying? Like, a Patrick Peterson can compete against Odell.
Odell can beat you, and he can beat you 100 different ways. But I get your point.
Run past you is all I'm saying. The only way to stop DeSean Jackson is by attributing the safety over the top. That's obviously what they're going to do a lot. The difference between DeSean Jackson and the other deep threats is they were jammable. Torrey Smith was jammable. You put your hands on him, he's wearing cement shoes. Mm-hmm. DeSean Jackson is so fast, he's unjammable. And that Richard Sherman has said that.
Kevin, let me ask you this question. Would you rather have DeSean Jackson or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'd rather have Odell.
I just want to make sure.
But I'm saying if I had to. All right, so if I'm Patrick Peterson, right, or I'm Richard Sherman, who would I rather guard? They can't run with DeSean Jackson. You know what I'm saying? They can run with Odell. He might beat him. They might get a hit in. You're at least competing.
All right.
And I'm saying by yourself. I'm not talking about scheme. You can scheme DeSean out faster than you can Odell.
Okay. All right. I got you. Move on to your sixer point.
Sixer point is this. So I personally think that the Sixers in the clutch have shown that they play butter when the ball's in Jimmy Butler's hands and they move Ben Simmons off ball, right? They still can run their breaks through Ben Simmons, but in the half court offense, they execute better with the ball in the hands.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's really not. And yet, in the second lead, they're not going to do that. So it's not even why you even talk about it. You know, they're not going to change what they do. So Jimmy Butler's got to get more involved. He's got to get more active. He can't be standing there. He stands around too much. And then when he's got open threes, he's dribble driving and then dishing. And I don't get it. He can beat anybody. Once he gets into that 8 foot, 6 foot area, he can beat anybody. He scores that ball 90% of the time. Gotta happen.
Mike, that's coaching. Yeah. That's coaching. That's coaching that's saying, listen, pass the ball one extra time rather than one less time. That's coaching. That's coaching that's deferring to Ben and deferring to Joel Embiid. Jimmy Butler doesn't defer to anybody according to everything else the rest of his career before he got here. That's coaching that has dictated that. That's why they're doing that. And to me, that's why there's a lot of pressure on Brett Brown, because if he can't figure it out with Jimmy Butler, who else can you get that you're going to figure it out with?
Yeah, I'm nervous. Be a problem. I'm nervous about it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Brian Westbrook till 5 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Misnelli Show. Brian Westbrook will be with us until 5 o'clock. An interesting question on email. Guy asked me if Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama, is available at 25. Would you take him? He's expected to go a little sooner.
I don't think he'll be available at 25, but if he is,
you would take him.
Of course you take him.
You would.
I mean, you're trying
take
to
a
put
running back with your first
around
pick.
Your quarterback. Yeah.
We got a bad hookup with Brian. We lose it.
Trying to put weapons around
there you. Yeah, we got to straighten that out. Yeah, we have a little bad connect with you, Brian. You hear us? All right, let's try to straighten it out. We'll go to the phones. Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mike, you're killing me, man.
What am I doing?
Brian's killing me because I wanted to kind of get pick Brian's head, so hopefully you can get him back before the end of his call because I want to get his opinion on something that I spoke to you about yesterday. But first, let me get a rule. Let me get a violation ruling because feel like I'm kind of in the wrong. I put a dollar down on Kyrie to score a triple-double, and he did it. Second time in his career, I made $40 off of it. Is it a violation?
Kyrie
Irving. I put a dollar down on Kyrie to get a triple-double in Boston to win. Is that a violation?
Nah, you know, you talk about your own money, man. Do what you need to do.
I got you. So, you know what? Jokic with his first game-winning buzzer beater, that was a shot to see last night. And then on top of that, Sacramento, you know, doing what they did.
No one cares.
We care about Jokic.
Well, I care because, look, the Sacramento one, I care because tonight, I'm kind of worried that, you know, when we play Sacramento, they know how sometimes to get inside Joe's head and our head. So I think if there's one message I'm sending to the Sixers tonight, keep your calm, keep your cool, because they're going to try to rally you, and you got to find a way not to let them because you're going to get into foul trouble early, and that is a concern of mine.
Where is this history of acrimony between the Kings and the Sixers?
Well, I watched the last game they played in Sacramento.
What happened?
I believe Joe got in foul trouble, but he did finish the game. Or did he foul out at the end there? I don't know. Maybe Ty can, you know, check that for me. But, you know.
Who got in his head?
Willie Cauley-Stein did. I'm just saying. It's one of the situations where, Joe is getting his head easy, pal.
Yeah, all right. I'm not worried about that.
But
JJ didn't play game, by the way. Right?
I saw that Bryce Harper thing. Man, yeah, I heard it. I saw it. That was hard to watch. If that pitcher gets a contract and is actually on the Blue Jays, I'm calling conspiracy, man. I really am. But that's in a tongue in cheek way. My Eagles question that I wanted to pose to you to Brian, but I spoke to you yesterday and I said, do you almost have to take a flyer on Jay Ajayi? Because now you see all the names coming off the board. You know, is it incumbent on Eagles to try to get a deal done with Buffalo to bring back Shady because of, you know, what he did here at the Eagles? Look, I know it's not the ideal fit, but considering all the names that have come off the board, you have to do something if you're losing Ajayi and you're not going to be willing to re-sign him, Mike. So I feel like it's incumbent on them to try to make every phone call possible and try to make everything work, even if it's with Jay Ajayi, because you have no choice at this point.
Yeah, what do you think of Jay Ajayi, Brian?
Yeah, I don't think they give Jay Ajayi another chance just because of his knee. They were concerned about his knee when they got him. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of injuries since then. The Patriots did.
We get some gremlins in your system today. What's going on with your system? You got some gremlins.
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you squirted out there for a couple seconds.
Well, this is what my point. Mm. The Patriots brought in Sony Michel this year. They played him a lot, and when he was healthy, they gave him 20 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So you could expect 15 to 20 carries from a very good rookie running back. You add in Corey Clement. You add in Darren Sproles, some other, you know, Smallwood if you need to, Josh Adams if you need to. Here and there, you're not asking your rookie running back to carry the team, but if you need 15 to 20 carries out of them, then that's what you should do. That's why I said I wouldn't have a problem with getting Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama, at late in the first round. I have no problem with that because, again, you're trying to help Carson Wentz put the offense in good situations where you can be very successful, and the running game will help them an awful lot.
All right, let's go Smitty Wildwood. What's up, Smitty?
Right. Mike, I agree with everything you said about the Eagles and the Sixers. I wanted to get your take on Kaplan, the manager of the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I just read an article that made me call you. It says that Harper was considering...
Kapler. Yeah, that's right.
He was considering not coming here because of all the moves that he made. It's in the Inquirer.
All the moves who made?
Kapler.
You mean the
last year.
Analytics and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of rumor BS, I think. This lineup, we had Gabe Kapler on when we were at spring training. And he said, obviously, I'm going to make fewer of those moves than I did last year because I had to kind of try to get the best out of our team. Now we're a more talented team, so I don't have to tinker as much, is what he said to us.
All right, how do you feel?
Yeah, I like, dude, I put a lineup up 1-8 and I leave it there. That's what I do with this team.
That's what I wanted to hear you say.
Seriously, I mean, there's really not much mystery. You guys, I gave him the lineup that day. He had the first five guys I gave him right in the same spots.
Do you have a Hernandez leading off?
No, I don't have Hernandez leading off. I have him hitting eighth.
Okay.
I got McCutchen leading off, followed by Segura, followed by Harper, followed by Hoskins, followed by Realmuto, followed by Herrera, Franco hitting seventh, and Hernandez eight. Boom, okay. Leave it alone.
Okay.
All right? Yeah. All right, buddy, you got it. Let's go Dave in Center City. Dave, quickly. Dave, you got a couple seconds.
Brian, I know where you disappeared to. Nothing was wrong with your phone. You went to your app to lock in Villanova at 45-1 to win the national title this year.
You know what? I got Villanova at 75-1 a little bit earlier on in the season.
Nice.
I like Villanova. I watch some of these teams. Why don't you just get
a couple dollar bills and burn them with a Bic lighter? That's what you did there.
Hey, there's a lot of talent in college basketball right now. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Brian, Mikey Miss still gets nervous in regards to what the Eagles do. They're getting very close to putting together a Patriots model. They have the coach, the quarterback. If they want to bring in a 38-year-old Brian Westbrook with two bum knees to run the football this year, it'll work. Believe me. You guys have a good weekend.
Well, all right,
well, first of all, I'm 39. And I only have one bum knee. So
knee is really bummed. The one you had
is really
bummed.
Bad. No, it's bad.
Listen, man, have a great weekend. Thanks for spending the hour with us. We enjoy it as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There he is. Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday from 4 to 5. I'm looking at a mock draft here. Josh Jacobs can be taken anywhere from 22 to 24. It's in the area. It's in the air. If he's there, do you pull the trigger, Tyrone?
Yeah, at that point, I do.
Okay.
Even though I don't want to. Yeah, I do.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The 5 o'clock hour is ahead. Your phone calls all through the 5 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.